Church is a busy place. And Legacurry is a busy place. There are many who serve, as Bobby mentioned last week, in so many ways and often quietly, giving so much more than they may appear to get back. But our service in church, and as we think about these forthcoming committee elections, our service isn't and should not be about what we get back in return for service. You know, the passage that I read just a few minutes ago from Exodus 31 with those nice, easy names, it's just one aspect of serving. And how skilled and divinely gifted craftsmen, and they were equipped by God. But they were chosen and they were selected by God to use the skills that God had given them to produce items, furnishings for the tabernacle and the courtyard. The ability that they had was not of their making, but it was attributed to the fact that they had been filled with the Spirit of God. You know, in gifting and spiritual gifts, it was there right from the start, right back in the Old Testament. Although so often we tend to focus much more on it through the New Testament. And you see, Paul described the believers in Thessalonica as this, 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Their new identity, that entailed them serving God, the living and true God. So that is the case for us too. When the trade unions were strong, there was that well-known phrase that the shop steward would call, "Everybody out." The men and women would down tools or whatever they were doing, and they would walk out. In the Christian life, it is the opposite. The Lord calls everybody in. Everybody in. Every believer is called to service. There are no holidays, there's no retirement, there's no guaranteed conditions, there's no salary. But the benefits are out of this world. Every believer is called to serve. When we make vows in becoming communicant members, and some of you are going to be exploring what it is to be a communicant later today at the manse, but service is a part of what we promise. Every able-bodied communicant should have some area of service, using the gifts that God has given them to serve the Lord, whether inside or outside the congregation. Our supreme example is, and there's no prizes for guessing, but it is Jesus. Jesus was the one who turned the world's idea of greatness on its head. Mark 10, verses 43, 45, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You know, in John chapter 4 and 5, we've a couple of verses there that emphasize three key truths about service, and that's what I really want us to explore today. John 9, verses 4 and 5. "As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." We see a necessity of Christian service. We see the authority of Christian service. We see the urgency of Christian service. And just to prove the point that I don't always have 3 points, I'm going to wrap it up as we explore a fourth, which is the manner of Christian service. So let's look first at the necessity of Christian service. As long as it is day, we must do the work. You know, there's a lot of musts in Jesus' ministry. When Jesus was still a young boy and at the temple with his parents, after they had headed out on the road back home and they then were looking for him, when they found him, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." Luke 2, verse 49. When he was speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus said, "The Son of Man must be lifted up." John 3, verse 14. Telling the Jews that Gentiles too would enter the kingdom, Jesus said, "I must bring them also." John 10, verse 16. And he explained in Matthew 16, verse 21, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. These are not musts because Jesus is compelled to do them, but musts of love, because he delights to do the Father's will. In home groups and our Thursday morning fellowship, we're exploring, indeed also in our Sunday service over these next number of weeks, we're looking at Exodus, and then also we'll be looking specifically at the law, the Ten Commandments, or the Decalogue. And as we do that, one of the themes is that we will want to, we will delight to follow the law because it pleases God. And so it is with service. We must not serve just because we are compelled to, but we must do it out of love and because it delights God. You know, how often do we talk of a child going into a job or a career because it delights their parents? Doesn't always happen that way nowadays, but it certainly used to. People would choose the line of work because they knew it would delight their parents. How much more it is with God. It delights God when we serve him. Rick Warren comments, "A saved heart is one that wants to serve. A non-serving Christian is contradiction in terms." Christian service is a necessity. Secondly, the authority of Christian service. Those verses from John 9 again, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me." See, service is not just doing good. It is doing it to please the Lord. You know, there's always a danger of slipping into doing things in the church to be seen or for self-satisfaction, not really doing them to serve the Lord. Our motivation is important. Service is not just doing what I want. It is doing what God wants. Thomas Barnardo, who founded Barnardo's, he applied to go as a medical missionary to China. If he had insisted on getting his own way, he would have missed the work. God had called for him in establishing those homes for children in Britain. You know, as I come to a time when I am available to call later this year, that is key for me. Discerning and doing what God wants me to do, not just what I want. Examining our gifts is important. And praying, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Service is not just about being busy, it is about being obedient. You know, there are many busy Christians who are also frustrated because they are not doing what God has shaped them to do. At one level, there are always jobs that need to be done in Christ's church. And someone with a servant heart needs to step forward and do them, even if they are not particularly gifted in that way. And God will equip. But the ideal is that we all take the gifts that God's Holy Spirit has given to us at conversion and we use them in obedience to Him. The Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts, as we read in that passage in Exodus 31. As He gave those gifts to Bezalel through the Spirit of God to make those items in the tent of meeting, so God shapes every believer for service. The full functioning of Christ's church requires every believer to use their gifts and not to leave it up to others. Some folk might say, I was never asked. Who were you never asked by? You see, if you are a believer, then you have both been asked and commanded by the Lord. So you are not to wait to be asked by someone else. Recognize your gifts and get on and use them. Take the initiative. Offer. Get involved. The authority for Christian service comes from the Lord. Thirdly, the urgency of Christian service. As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Those words again from John 9. Night is coming when no one can work. There's urgency to Christian service. It is urgent because our time on earth is limited. The Lord will come back. We don't know when, and He is to find us ready, serving. Our time on earth is limited. We are only given limited years to serve. And I'm sure there are many of us have a list of things that I wish I'd given more time to. We read, when David had served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep. Acts 13, verse 36. And Joan Blanchard said, you will not be a student or a farmer or a businessman or a housewife forever. Whatever opportunity you have for serving the Lord at this moment is a passing opportunity. It is not only the road to hell that is paved with good intentions. So for many people is the road to heaven. What's that Nike ad phrase? Just do it. Christian service is urgent. It's urgent at home, but it is also urgent overseas. And it may be that the Lord is already in the process of calling you to go out in service. The need is great, and the workers are still few. Jesus is laying on your heart, is Jesus laying on your heart His words in John 4:35, where He says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Or Luke 10, verse 2, He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Those verses, that last one from Luke 10, verse 2, those words that spoke to me very clearly 12 months ago as I started a process of discerning where God may lead and call me to serve Him. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There is an urgency for Christian service. And then the manner of Christian service. It's not just what we do, it's also how we do it. For we can serve with grudging or jealous hearts. We can serve half-heartedly or cynically. We can just not turn up when we don't feel like it without apology. We can just dump our service when something else crops up with family or friends. You know, as we mention these words, if you're not already serving, think about what you can do. If you're already serving the Lord, think about how you do it. There's just a few ways that we can think about that. We should be doing it with enthusiasm. There's a Greek word, liturgos, from which we get our word litany. And the word referred to a man who undertook a work for the state at his own expense. And so it indicated a generosity and enthusiasm. Paul used it in 2 Corinthians 9:12 when he said, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." That was when he was urging believers to give generously to meet the needs of others. Am I serving generously with enthusiasm? And then there's dignity. The Greek word therapon, meaning self-respect, freedom, honor. Those who serve the Lord are servants of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. There's no more dignified position. If you are serving the Lord on committee or in an organization, what difference would it make to how you approach it if you viewed it more as a position of dignity and honor given by the Lord? And we can also serve with humility. Greek word hypereis, an under par. Serving faithfully is a low position. We step down into service. There's no room for pride or arrogance. Some people can be too big to serve God, or see themselves as too big to serve God, too self-important. You know, it's always humbling to see people in the church who don't debate who should do a job or whose responsibility it is, the ones that don't duck out of the way to avoid the small and perhaps unpleasant task, the ones that simply see the need and get on and do it without fuss, without needing praise or acknowledgement. They've learned to serve in humility. Rick Warren again says, "Small tasks often show a big heart. Great opportunities often disguise themselves in small tasks." Am I serving in humility? And then there's perseverance. Greek word latris. The word refers to a hard servant working for wages and therefore not allowed time off. It's used of the throng in heaven that serve day and night before God's throne. Revelation 7:15. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple." A servant is steady, reliable, trustworthy, consistent. Does that describe my service? Does that describe your service? Obedience. Diakonos is the Greek word. Then refers to a wide range of service in the New Testament. Service that was often unglamorous. And the emphasis in this word in the New Testament is on obedience rather than prominence. Not seeking to be in the limelight. Just serving others in humble obedience to the Lord. For each of us, we can ask that question. Is that me? And then finally, devotion. Doulos. Means a bond slave. It's one of the most common of all the New Testament words. It is a strong word. In Christian use, it means a bondage that is spontaneous, voluntary, joyful and wholehearted. Doesn't refer to service to a cause or program or organization, but it's service to a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. The very heart of service is love for the Lord. Do I love to serve because he first loved and served me? This is what Paul discovered. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves but for him who died for them and was raised again. 2 Corinthians 5:12 and 13. The Bible is filled with examples of how God loves to use imperfect, ordinary people to do extraordinary things in spite of their weaknesses. If you are chosen to serve on the committee, may you commit yourselves to serve with enthusiasm, recognizing the dignity of serving the Lord, doing so in humility, with perseverance, and in obedience, with devotion, or whatever area of service God has or will call you to. Settle for nothing less than we read in 1 Samuel 12:24. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you.